Welcome to Coffee Table Mythos. I'm Eliza.
And I'm Leah.
Grab your favorite beverage and let's talk myths.
Eliza, what are you drinking today?
We had to scrap the... I feel like, you know, in Monty Python and the Holy Grail, when they have the very beginning, and it was like, well, that guy was sacked.
In the credits. The guy in charge of sacking the guy in charge of the credits was also sacked.
Yes.
And eventually it ends up on the, like, llama instead of...
Everything was llamas. Everything.
What was the first animal?
I can't even fucking remember. I honestly cannot. But now I'm drinking Adrenaline Shock Smart Energy Cotton Candy flavor.
Do you like that one?
I can palate this a lot better than the previous two.
And I'm just drinking a white Ultra Beast Monster because I just couldn't. I'm too picky. Like, unless I already know I like something. Like, I even tried the Adrenaline Shock that Eliza's drinking right after she opened it to say, oh, well, maybe I like that one. And the first taste was okay, but it has an aftertaste. And you guys know I can't do aftertaste. So, like, that's like three drinks. Like, strike out. I gotta go sit down on the bench.
Drink something you know.
Yeah. I'm gonna fall back on the one I drink every day at work. We're at 14 minutes of failures of drinks.
Listen.
We haven't even started talking about it yet.
It's our 1 year. It's our fucking one year. We can drink as much caffeine as we want to.
I forgot it was our 1 year.
Yeah, it is our 1 year. We've got, if you went and looked into our recyclables at this moment, you would think we just died off of caffeine intake.
Yeah.
Because, what is it, the first can we tried, 312 milligrams of caffeine, and just that bad boy.
Not that we fully drank any of them.
No. I had, like, maybe a few sips of that one.
Yeah. I think I had two sips of each of them.
And then the second one is just, like, cold brew. I don't know how much caffeine was in that bitch, but I had, like, maybe two or three sips, and I was like, no, thank you. It's too sweet. And then now I'm on this. Now, I want to say, before that, we went to Dunkin', and they got this new smoked vanilla cold foam cold brew. Fucking love that shit. I am all about that. Leah wasn't as ecstatic about it. She was like, it's okay.
Yeah. I like some things that are vanilla. Like, I don't have a problem with vanilla-flavored things. But if my choice is between vanilla and caramel, I'm gonna get caramel.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. I got a Charlie Cold Foam Cold Brew for breakfast.
Yep. So you can just say we've had a bit of caffeine today.
I don't count those sips. Those sips don't count.
They don't count.
Do you remember? I was going to say, do you remember where the person requested this? Was it Reddit or was it Discord?
I think it was Reddit.
Okay, that's what I thought too. That's why I put Reddit question mark.
That's true.
So where, oh, where to begin? I can't believe I forgot this was the beginning of our second year. Yeah. Like, I literally said to Eliza this morning, we just posted episode 52.
And I asked her, I was like, how does it feel? And she was like, that's a lot of episodes.
It is a lot of episodes. We've researched so much stuff.
Yeah.
All over the place.
We're currently working on making merch. Like, our own merch.
Mm-hmm.
Leah just created our first, I guess you'd call them decal car stickers.
Yeah.
And it's literally, like, holographic coffee table mythos with our Instagram and stuff on there. We're still working the kinks out.
Yeah.
That's the truth of it, because Leah just got her cry cut, or cricket, whichever way you'd like to say it, last week. So, eventually we will be offering actual merch from us personally, as opposed to using other sources, just so that we can
make sure that everything gets to you guys in, like, a reasonable amount of time and quality control it. I'm having a bit of a day, okay? Just trying to make the stickers.
I'm sorry. We went to Michael's this morning to get more vinyl because she ran out of white vinyl.
I wanted to make these stickers in white vinyl because our cars are blue, and I thought, oh, white vinyl will be a great sticker color. So we go, and Eliza's like, I like this holographic one in teal. And I'm like, cool, we'll give it a shot. I make her sticker first. This holographic vinyl cut amazingly. So when I was weeding it, which is when you, like, pick off the part you're not going to use, it came off so well. And I was like, oh, dang. Apparently, I'm getting better using this cry cut.
The
oh,
gods
yeah.
blessed
oh,
my choice.
Yeah. So then we get it on our car. I do a little TikTok. So if you want to see what the sticker looks like, it's on our TikTok. And I go upstairs to make mine. And I was like, well, I bought this like 4 foot of white vinyl to do mine with. And I'm weeding it and it's being an absolute dick. So I finished weeding it because I was like, okay, we might be able to use it for something else. But it was literally like ripping the vinyl, even though I had it cut even deeper than like the default. So after weeding something that was freaking horrendous to weed, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to use the holographic, but in a different color. I used the purple because you guys know I'm a slut for purple. And it came off so perfectly that I used the part I weeded off, so the trash part, as a sticker on my craft room mirror. So it says, like, coffee table mythos in, like, the negative space. And I'm mad about it. I'm a little salty about it, okay?
I just felt compelled by the holographic design. And it was foretold.
Yeah. So that was this morning. And then we came back, went shopping, made the stickers, and now we are ready to do our first episode of the new year, which, as we said previously, every episode in the month of July is going to be grab bag. So this one was requested by one of our listeners on Reddit, and they asked that we research Anansi.
Oh yeah. I'm really excited about your topic today.
So Anansi, which is spelled many ways and pronounced many different ways. One of the ways is spelled A-N-A-N-S-I. But he also goes by Hanansi, John Anansi, Nancy, Mr. Nancy, Brother Anansi, Aunt Nancy, Miss Nancy, T. Malice, Uncle Buki, The Spider, and Spider-Man, among others.
All I keep thinking is a lot of yeses. But in Anansi.
And that's the thing, like, I left out the ones that sound the same, but are spelled differently. Because there's a bunch of different spellings of just the word Anansi, but
that's fair.
Yeah. So, as you can see, he goes by many names. So, the name I had heard prior to research was Aunt Nancy, which is why when I went into this, I thought I was researching a female. But as it turns out, with everything that we research, it was more complicated than that. Anansi begins as a male.
Begins. Okay.
He is a trickster character from Akan folklore. And there are so many graceful... I cannot emphasize enough how awesome these stories are. There's so many great stories about how things came to be. And it's not just physical things. So some are physical things. Some are, like, how jealousy came to be, how wisdom came to be, how the sun, the stars, and the sky, and the moon came to be. So it's not just concrete items. He is known as the storyteller, as he is the keeper of tales. As is true about a lot of folklore, there can be many versions of the same tale. So I both read and listened to multiple versions of the stories that I'm going to talk about. They are by no means all of the stories involving Anansi. But this podcast is not long enough to talk about all of them.
It would be basically the form of an audiobook.
Oh, yeah.
Episode.
Yeah, it literally would be, because there are actual physical books where you can buy his stories all in a physical book. If any of the stuff I'm about to tell you interests you, I suggest looking into it more. And a lot of them are also, like, moral fables on top of, like, explanations of how things came to be. So, as you maybe could have guessed from some of the names, he is depicted as a spider, a man, and sometimes a combination of the two.
Hmm.
The word Anansi comes from the Twi or Akan language and means spider. Many characters in the stories are also animals and will be called by their name and then their animal. So, for example, one of his enemies is Osebo the leopard. He is the child of Naomi, the great sky god, and Asaseya, the earth goddess and goddess of fertility. As the Akan culture spread, Anansi took the form of different entities. In some places, he was venerated as a deity. In others, as a folklore hero and trickster. When his lore melded with Haitian voodoo, he became one of the Loa. And as the stories came into the United States, in some places, he became Aunt Nancy, or Aunt Nancy, a female just as wise and wily as her male counterpart. Anansi's stories originated in the region of Ashanti in present-day Ghana. The stories soon spread through the Akan peoples. I think the best way I can break it down is to compare the groupings like this. The Ashanti people are part of the Akan larger ethnic group, but not all Akan people are of the Ashanti group. Sort of like how Irish people fall under the Celtic group, but not all Celts are Irish. Does that make sense?
Okay.
They have similarities in languages and cultures, but they are individual groups and they do have differences within each group. So I couldn't find a definitive timeline of when the first Anansi story was told. Typically, they are told in an oral tradition, and they sometimes include song and dance on top of just the oral stories. But we know that the stories arrived in America with the first enslaved people brought over in the 1500s. So they are over 500 years old, and that's just the very conservative estimate. That's okay. Like if they came into being right before the peoples were brought over.
Which probably did not happen.
Exactly. They are obviously much older, but that's like the only number I could really give you guys. Now, you will recall I mentioned his father, the sky god Nyame. Nyame is usually separate from humanity, and Anansi is the contact between him and humans. One story is literally called, English translation of course, Why Anansi is Sky God Nyame's Messenger. So, of all the stories, I think these were my three favorite. So, one story was how wisdom came to be in the world. And Anansi wanted all of the wisdom for himself. So, he was going around and collecting it in a gourd. So, he would find wisdom and he'd put it in the gourd. And he had all this wisdom in this gourd. And he dropped it, and it spilled out into the water. And the wisdom flowed through the water across the whole world. And that's why there's wisdom everywhere.
That's cool.
Yeah. My second favorite story was probably how he became known as the storyteller. And basically, before he had the stories, his father Nyame had them. And people kept going to Nyame and saying, I will buy these stories from you. And nothing they were willing to give or were able to give to Nyame was enough of interest to him that he was willing to depart, like give up his stories. So Anansi goes to his father and says, what can I give you? He didn't offer anything. He said, what can I give you that will allow me to have the stories? So Nyame says, go find these four creatures that were really hard to capture in his mind.
Okay.
Onini the python, the Moboro hornets, Osebo the leopard, and the fairy Moatia. And if you could bring these creatures back to me, then I will give you the stories. So the first was a snake. That's Onini the python. And what I like about this story is his wife was involved. So he kept going to his wife and being like, how do you think I should catch this thing? And the wife would say, okay, well, let's do this. So for the snake, she was like, this is what we'll do. We'll get a leaf, a really long leaf frond, and we'll go to the water's edge, and we'll argue really loudly.
I'm sorry.
We're going to argue really loudly about whether or not the snake is longer than this leaf frond. Our arguing will lure it over. So they go, and they go to the riverside, and they're arguing, and the snake comes over and says, what are you guys arguing about? And Anansi says, well, I think you're longer than this leaf frond, but my wife doesn't think so. And the snake's like, of course I'm longer than that leaf frond. So the snake kept trying to stretch itself out to prove that it was longer than the leaf frond, but his body kept coiling up before it got all the way straight. So Anansi was like, you know what? We'll use our spider's thread to tie you to the leaf frond, and then we'll be able to tell that you're longer than it.
Oh my god.
So the snake was like, yeah, let's do that. So they tie the snake to the leaf frond, and then once it was tied up, he took it to the god Naomi and was like, here's your snake.
Oh my gosh.
And here's the thing. He's very cocky. So after he catches each of these, there's like this little dialogue of how he's like bragging that he was smart enough to catch.
It was his wife.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that was his wife the whole fucking time.
So he's like, ah, I was so smart. I caught this snake. So he takes it to Naomi and Naomi's like, well, you got three more creatures to go. And then he goes to, and his wife's name is Aso, by the way. So Aso was like, this is how we're going to get Onini. So Naomi says, you still got some to go before I give you these stories. So Anansi goes back home to his wife, Aso, and says, okay, now I have to get the hornets. So he asks for his wife's advice. And Aso says, take the gourd to the hornets. And what he does is he makes it appear like it's raining. So he goes, he gets himself wet and he goes to the hornets and he's like, oh, hornets, you should hide inside this gourd because if you don't, you're going to get wet. There's a rainstorm coming. So they go inside the gourd and he plugs the holes and he takes the hornets up to Naomi.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I love how the wife is like the mastermind of this whole fucking thing.
Of this one, she is. This is the only one where she was like, it seems like she had a huge part of the story. So Naomi's like, okay, well, you got some more to go. So he goes back and he says to his wife, you know, I got the hornets. And he says, now I have to go get Osebo the leopard. And she says, okay, so this is what you're going to do. You're going to dig a hole and you're going to cover the hole with plants. And then when he gets stuck in it, you'll be able to catch him. So he did. He dug the hole kind of near Osebo's den.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he fell in, Anansi goes up and says, oh no, you got stuck in a hole. I'll help you out. So he goes and gets these really long sticks, two long sticks, and he puts them in the hole. And Osebo's trying to get out of the hole using these sticks, but he's having a hard time. So he says, I know you're having a hard time. Let me tie your paws to the sticks.
With oh my gosh.
With this.
No way.
With the spider silk. Let me tie you up and then I'll pull you out of the hole and I'll let you go. So he pulls him out of the hole, doesn't let him go, takes
obviously
him to Naomi.
Not. Oh my god.
Takes him to Naomi. Here's your leopard. So Naomi's like, you got one more to go. So the last one he was supposed to capture was a fairy.
Oh.
And
this took a turn I was not expecting.
Yes. So what he does is he carves a Nakua doll and he covers it with sap from a tree so that it gets really sticky. And then he takes mashed yams and puts it in a bowl. He puts the doll with the yams out and he attaches his spider silk to the doll. And he goes back and he hides. So the fairy comes out and sees the food and says to the doll, can I have some? And the doll's like, I'm doing a motion. And you guys, this is not a visual medium.
I was like watching you. I'm like, okay.
The doll gets yanked by the thread and looks like it nods. So the fairy eats the yams. And when it's done, it says thank you. But the doll doesn't say you're welcome. And the fairy gets a little upset.
Just a little bit.
A little. Oh, no, like a lot of it. Okay. So there are other fairies around. And the fairy that ate the mashed yams was like, can you believe this? And they were like, the other fairies were like, you should slap it for being rude to you. So the fairy slaps the doll and gets its hand stuck. And they're like, oh, you know what? You should slap its other side to get your hand off. The fairy slaps the other side of the doll and gets the other hand stuck. And then they were like, you know what? Just like body slam it. That'll definitely unstick your hands.
What?
So then the fairy does that and gets its entire body stuck to this doll. And then once it's 100% stuck, Anansi comes out and takes the fairy up to Naomi and is like, here's your fairy.
Oh my gosh.
So in one version of the story, when he was like, Naomi says, I want these four creatures. Anansi says, not only will I bring you those four creatures, I'll also bring you my grandmother.
That is fucked up.
So.
That is fucked up. Poor grandma.
So, some versions have that part, some versions don't. So, in the version that has it, he takes his grandmother as well. And he's like, hey, will you go with me? And just like, takes her. Just yeah.
takes her to go. Like, hey, let's visit the sky god. It's fine.
Yeah. And in some versions, she's just not even mentioned at all. So once he goes and has all of these creatures given to the sky god says, well, I'm thoroughly impressed. You brought me everything I asked for. And he gave all of the stories to Anansi. And that is why he is now known as the storyteller, because he is the keeper of the stories.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even know. It's pretty good. It's a good story.
I really like that one because of how much help he got from his wife.
I love it. So,
I really liked that one. And then my third favorite story was how the sun, the moon, and darkness came to be. And I love this python, okay? There's two different versions I read. Basically what happens is Anansi is bragging about how clever he is.
Okay.
And Naomi, the sky god, is just so sick of his shenanigans. He's just so sick of hearing how clever Anansi is. So he says, okay, you think you're so clever. Here is an empty bag. Go get me something. And Anansi says, well, what am I supposed to bring you? And Naomi says, if you're so clever,
figure it out.
Figure it out. So Anansi goes down to Earth and he gets a feather from one feather from every bird and he makes himself a cloak. And he uses the cloak to fly back to heaven and he perches on a branch outside of the home of the gods. And all the gods start coming out going, that is a strange looking bird. What kind of bird is that? And they're all asking each other, do you know what kind of bird that is? And they're like, no, do you know what kind of bird that is? And finally they ask an elephant, who's the wisest of the forest. And the elephant says, I don't know what kind of bird that is, but you know, Anansi might know what kind of bird that is. And Naomi says, well, we're not going to be seeing Anansi for a while because I sent him on a fool's errand. And they said, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, I gave him a bag and I told him to go get me something, but I didn't tell him what it was. And they said, well, what on earth did you want him to bring you? And he says, I want the sun, the moon, and darkness. So Anansi patiently waits for them to lose interest and they go back inside. And he flies back down to Earth and he goes to Python, who is also very wise. And he says to Python, where do I find these things? And in one version of the story, Python says, go meet the sun where it rises and go meet the moon where it sets and you'll be able to gather these things. And in one version, the python says, wait here, takes the bag and comes back with the things in the bag for him. And I'm just like, how bored are you that you're like, you know what? I'll just do it myself. I could take the walk. I could take the slither. It's a nice day. I think I'll just do this errand for him. It'll be fine. So he comes back, he gives him the bag, and Anansi takes the bag back up to Naomi. And Naomi's like, oh, you're back! Did you find what I wanted? And he reaches in the bag, and he pulls out darkness. And the entire world goes black. And everyone starts panicking, because they can't see. So then, he reaches into the bag, and he pulls out the moon. And they're able to see a little bit, and they're starting to calm down a little. And then he reaches into the bag, and he pulls out the sun. And then everybody can see again. And that is how we have the sun, the moon, and darkness. And Naomi admits that he is a very clever spider. I love how, I don't know if how I want to say it. I love how human the characters are. Like, Anansi is a braggart. He knows he's that smart, and he admits it. And Naomi's like, this guy is driving me crazy. I've got to do something to get this guy out of my house because he's driving me nuts. Like, the characters are so interesting because you can relate to that. You've known someone in your life who that's just drives like you that. Crazy. Yeah.
That's why I'm laughing.
Yeah. So those are just like my top three. And those are not word for word. That's just my recounting how I remember them. And they have different versions because more than one person is telling this story. This is passed down over hundreds of years. So Anansi can be found in books, poetry, TV shows, comics, podcasts. I particularly listen to the podcast Stories Mother Told and Anansi Storytime. If you like these types of stories, Stories Mother Told is a really good podcast. He has an amazing speaking voice. He has each episode not just titled with what the story is, but also where it's coming from. So whether it's from Ghana or Uganda or Nigeria, it tells you exactly where the stories are from, which I thought was really cool. It actually helped me pick out the stories of Anansi because not every title has his name in them. So since I knew the stories came from Ghana, I was able to kind of skip around to the ones from Ghana and find them better.
Cool.
And then I was trying to find the name of the speaker, but I was having like a horrible time. So I'm not sure what his name is, but like I said, it's called Stories Mother Told, and it was really good. And then Anansi Storytime is like a podcast play where each character in the story is voiced by a different player. So these are like very quick episodes, but they are also getting a decent amount of story across. And neither of the podcasts are like solely about Anansi. Like they have other stories that they're telling, but that's where I was able to find some of them to listen. And then all of this was learned in research. But I will leave you with this, which was the only knowledge I had going into it. Be kind to spiders, for you never know when it's Anansi.
It was really cool. I have no idea what to say about it, because it's like, you said everything there is to say.
I definitely did not say everything there is to say, but I covered a chunk.
Yeah.
The stories are super interesting. I have a terrible memory, so I don't really remember being told stories growing up. Like, I feel like I really wasn't told stories like that. Like, I remember reading or being read, like, the Magic School Bus stories, but, like, I didn't really grow up with fairy tale type stories. So that's Anansi. If you thought any of that was interesting, please go look it up. Wiki has a whole bunch of the stories all written out, and that was kind of my launching point. And then I knew, okay, this is the name of a story, and I could kind of go look that up specifically and read a couple different versions or listen to a couple different versions. But it was so interesting when I don't really remember having those kind of fables growing up, or like any version of those. Obviously, my family probably wouldn't have been telling me those exact stories, but I don't really remember like reading or listening to fables growing up that much.
Dang. Those were really cool. I really liked it.
So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about Eliza's creature.
It's a god.
Eliza's god, Perun. And we're back. Tell me about this man, this god, Digame.
So I chose the Slavic god Perun. He's the most mentioned Slavic god in all historical records dating back to 6th century, mentioned in De Bello Gothico, written by Eastern Roman historian Procopius. A note here was stating that Perun was essentially the head of the pantheon and to which ox and other animals were sacrificed. To this day, Perun in a number of Slavic languages means thunder or lightning bolt.
That's interesting that so many countries have like thunder gods.
I will get into that. According to the Russian Primary Chronicle, also known as Tale of Bygone Years, or also Nestor's Chronicles, traditionally thought to be authored by Nestor.
I was gonna ask.
Records in 907 AD, Prince Oleg, also known as Norse Helgi, Helgi, alright, was a Varangian prince, or Konug, who ruled over part of Rus' people late 9th and early 10th centuries. He made a peace treaty with the Byzantine Empire by taking his men to shrines and swearing by their weapons and their god Perun and god of cattle Volos to confirm the treaty. A similar treaty was made by Prince Igor in 945 and in 980 Prince Vladimir the Great came to throne in Kiev and erected statues of five gods in front of his palace, which were discarded during Christianization in 988. Perun was represented with a silver head and a golden mustache and a red beard. And a shrine of Perun was established by Vladimir's uncle, Dobrinja, in city Novgorod. After Christianization, the place became a monastery, which continued to bear the name Perun. In Helmod's Chronica Slavorum, written in the latter 12th century, it states that Slavic tribes, despite worshipping many gods, all agree that there was one who ruled the heavens, but Perun was not named directly, so it is assumed this is referencing Perun without actual certainty. For more etymology, Perun is strongly correlated with Pergunas, Perkons, from Baltic mythology. In Proto-Slavic, per means to strike or slay, hashtag slay, while the Lithuanian word, Perkunas, has two meanings, thunder and the name of their thunder god. And
so they think they could be related.
Yes.
Potentially.
They even think that Thor is related to this one.
Yeah, that was interesting that other character...
It gets more interesting. An archaic form of astrology refers to the pole star as Perun's eye, and countless Slavic and Hungarian astronomers continued this tradition, for example, Nicholas Copernicus and Franz Xaver von Zach.
The pole star like the North Star?
Yes. In Slavic mythology, the world is resembled by a sacred tree, usually oak, whose branches and trunk represent the living world of heavens and mortals, while the roots represented the underworld, also known as the realm of the dead. Perun was the ruler of the living world, sky and earth, and often symbolized by an eagle sitting atop the tallest branch of the sacred tree from which he kept watch over the world.
There's a lot of similar imagery.
Yes. His opponent resides deep in the roots and symbolized by a serpent or dragon, which was Veles, god of the underworld.
You guys can't see my face right now. The disbelief.
Who continually provoked Perun by creeping up from below into Perun's domain, stealing cattle, children, etc. And Perun would pursue Veles around the world and attack him with his thunderbolts. However, Veles would transform himself into various animals, hide behind trees, houses, people. And it was believed where lightning struck, it was because Veles was hiding behind that particular place or person.
And he was like, smote you, I shall smite thee.
In the end, Perun strikes Veles, or chases Veles back down to the underworld, and Perun reestablishes order in the world that was disrupted by Veles. And this is just a reoccurring thing that happens all the time.
Cyclical?
Yes, extremely. Now, the exact pantheon characterization differs between various Slavic tribes, but generally is considered a supreme god by the majority. The earliest supreme god was probably Rod. Also, there are scholarly opinions that Rod was the ruler, but later was put into a lower position. And there is literally a whole bunch of scholars arguing a whole bunch of positions of who Rod was in the Slavic pantheon.
Rod, R-O-D?
Yes.
Okay.
According to Myths and Folklore Wiki, to pay tribute to Perun, Slavs would perform didoli dancing and offer food to prevent drought, especially during summer seasons. Here it is said, his main weapon is an axe decorated with thunder marks and golden apples. When Perun tossed the golden apples in the air, he would transform them into lightning. Think of it like a lightning grenade.
I like it.
Yeah. During Christianization of the Slavs, there was the religious phenomenon known as the Dvoverge, having two faiths at one time. Due to Slavs not wanting to abandon their gods, and Christian priests recognizing how close their celebrations were to days of Christian saints, they exchanged Perun with Saint Elijah, and this saint was also known as the Thunderer with the same role as Perun. A few different sites I found, Perun was characterized as a bearded man with an imposing stature, with a red beard, a gold-yellow mustache, and silver hair, armed with an axe, a hammer, and a bow to shoot lightning. Also, various sites stated he would at times be depicted riding a chariot drawn by goats.
Oh my gosh!
Yes. Celebration of Perendan, or Perun's Day, was traditionally June 21st, summer solstice. There was mention of Slavic persons carrying something called thunderstones, which is a type of axe. To protect themselves from diseases and misfortunes, thunder marks were engraved on rooftops and entries of village houses as a symbol of Perun. I put question mark because I didn't see where like that was everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the symbol of Perun. I drew them down. It's kind of like, I don't know what
shape that is.
So one is a hexagon with each opposite corner having a line straight through the middle. So it almost looks like a faceted gem of like six triangles touching in the middle. And the other one is almost like the negative space of that. So it's six triangles with a dot in the center and a dot in the center of each of the end of the triangles.
Yes. Pirun in modern day is common in toponymy. For example, the Bulgarian mountain Pirin, people believe to be named after Pirun. Pirun is also the name of a hill in Podstrana, next to Split, Croatia. Among southern Slavs, a mountain plant, Iris germanica, is known in folklore as Pirunica, Pirun's plant, and sometimes also as Bogisha, God's plant, believed to grow from the ground to be struck by lightning.
So they thought irises were meant to be struck by lightning? I've got questions. Is that the end?
Yeah.
Okay, so, hold up. I know geologically, or geographically speaking, they were very, like, Norse people and Slavic people would be very close together.
Yes.
Like, it is not hard to believe that there were some commingling of peoples. Mm-hmm. But the number of
similarities
is outrageous.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just like my eyes, the entire time she was talking, were just like real big, like the size of...
You're like, what?
Tea saucers.
Yeah.
Like a tree representing the places but in the world. It's an oak instead of an ash.
Yeah.
But there was even an eagle and a serpent on Yggdrasil. The eagle wasn't a god, though.
No.
But they did antagonize each other.
Yeah.
And then golden apples, like Eden's apples.
Except these turn into lightning grenades, basically.
Yeah. But then, like, a chariot being pulled by goats?
Yeah.
That is right up Thor's alley.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I cannot believe it.
Yeah. Except this guy, his whole thing is it.
An axe instead of a hammer.
Yes.
Oh, so very different.
But he also does have a hammer. He has a hammer and then he has this. But the axe is like super special. I know it's not nearly as much stuff as you had on Anansi. I don't know if I even covered this part, but when Vladimir the Great, he put up those statues, right?
Mm-hmm.
He took them down during Christianization. And there's like something I read somewhere in the research where the statues were like thrown into like a river. But to pay homage to Pirun, people would throw, I think there were thunderstones or something, into the river there. And get this, I'm going to show you on your phone because you're going to be like, what the fuck? These are the archaeological symbols that they found to all be what thunderstones would look like. When I talk about thunderstones, that's the axe.
It looks just like Mjolnir. It looks just like the necklaces of Mjolnir.
These
oh
are
my
the
God.
Slavic axe amulets based on archaeological findings dating between 11th and 12th century.
It makes more sense as an axe than as a hammer. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You're like, what?
Okay, so these are also amulets.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
I know. I'm looking at it and I'm like, hold up. Wait, what?
That is nutty.
Isn't it? Isn't that crazy? I was like, holy shit.
God of spring, the east, fertility, atmosphere, law, thunderbolt, warrior class, nobility.
He's also considered a war god.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She's shaking her head.
And it does say on here, his equivalent would be Thor
in Norse. Yes. Yeah.
And then in Persian, Piran Vises.
Yeah, so they mention all these different gods in the different pantheons with very similar names.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, oh my gosh.
When you were saying Vladimir the Great, I was wondering if he was related to Vlad.
Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah, well, apparently the name Vlad was really common. Like, I was listening to a podcast episode and they had to explain, like, we're going to call them by, like, their nicknames because there's just so many Vlads. So that's why I was like, I don't know. Like, it might be the same guy. It might be a relative. Might not be even related.
All good questions. I thought it was really intriguing. I wasn't sure if I was going to stick with Pirun at first.
Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, gotta do him now. He's like Thor. He's the Slavic version of Thor.
Yeah, well, I was thinking before we use that sound for, I think it was Baba Yaga.
Shum from Eurovision this year.
Yes. So I was like, oh, okay. What is the actual, like, summer, springtime festival? Perun's Day. Okay, let's look at Perun. And I'm like, it's a fucking thunder god. Everyone listening to this is going to be like, I'm so sick of Eliza talking about thunder gods. They're going to be so done with me. I talk about so many. I don't think I've, like, actually covered Thor yet, though.
We've definitely covered parts of stories that Thor has been involved in, but I don't think we've just done a Thor episode.
I know we talked about Mjolnir.
Yeah, we talked about Mjolnir, how Mjolnir came to be.
Yes.
I talked about Jormungandr and how, like, he went fishing because he went to go get the cauldron that makes the mead and all that jazz.
But I also did Tyrannus,
mm-hmm.
which I got a little backlash about because someone was like, isn't that Celtic? And I was like, actually...
I think you said Irish. I actually Because you were sleep deprived.
I was sleep deprived, yes.
And you're like, I meant to say Celtic. Sorry, I only had 3 hours of sleep.
Yeah. That's exactly what fucking What I found is that on days that I, not days, on weeks where I'm, like, working more than usual,
yeah,
I tend to be a lot more productive on my weekend days off. I don't know how to necessarily turn it all off. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It's like I'm hitting the ground running and I'm still going. But eventually I'm going to hit that wall where I'm like, I can't go anymore, tap out. That's just what happens sometimes. But, you know, do you want to talk about something to brighten the mood?
Yes, 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 yes. Can I do a couple?
Of course, because I'm going to do a couple.
Okay. I got to make the coffee cup holder decorations, and I put them up. So that was my very first project when I was learning to use the Hatching Day present.
Cool.
And, like, I have lots of ideas, but have to just, like, get around to implementing them. Because some of them I actually have to make and Procreate, turn it into a vector file, save it, upload it. Like, it's a whole thing.
How does it feel being 30?
It doesn't feel that different. Okay, here's the deal. When I turned 16, you know, there's so much hype in the U.S. about sweet 16, right? And I turned 16 and I was like, what the hell was the hype? Like, it doesn't feel
different.
And that's kind of how it's been with 30. I have started, like, being really good about exercise again, like, taking care of myself, so that's different, but, like, I don't feel, like, it's not like, oh my gosh.
I've hit level 30. Level 30 acquired.
Yeah. Which apparently we can't spell the damn word acquired because we've done multiple paintings and cards and letters, and every time we forget to spell it with the C. So when the present is not absolutely pissing me the hell off, I am having fun using it. So there's this person I follow on TikTok named Friday Afternoon Tea, and she has a store in Seattle, Washington that sells tea. And she, one of the things she does on TikTok is called Tea and Tarot, where she'll pull a card and she'll also, like, brew a cup of tea to go with the card. And the deck she was using one day was the Orion deck, spelled O-R-I-E-N, and it was so freaking beautiful, I immediately went online and purchased it. And this was, like, back in April. And It was in March. Oh.
So, it took longer than you thought. That's why I was like, March, I hope it shows up by your birthday, jokingly, and then all of a sudden...
It came a couple days after my birthday, didn't it?
It came the day of the strawberry supermoon.
Yes. So... I finally got it, and it is as beautiful as it was. It has red foil edges, and I'm probably going to take a picture and upload it to Instagram of, like, some of my favorite cards, because there are a couple that just, like, they're so freaking gorgeous. The whole deck is gorgeous, but, it's like, beautiful. Some of them are just, like, they call to me. So that is the other thing. And obviously, we're not sponsored by any of these guys, but, like, it's a cool deck, and they make crepe tea, and...
All the good things.
All the good things. So, Eliza, what's something to brighten the mood?
Today, I had you take me to Bill's Music House in Catonsville. So, we went there because I have these guitars I'm looking at because I want their specific acoustic electrics that I'm like, oh my gosh, they're so beautiful because I want to see what I want, because a lot of the ones I'm looking at, they don't have, like, directly for me to play in Guitar Center, which is, like, the mass... music shop of the area in most of the United States. So we go to Bill's and I found a version of a thinner bodied acoustic electric guitar that I wanted to try to see if I'm even okay with it. And it's a lot more doable for me. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to be okay with this. That was an Ibanez. Now, that specific one was $100 cheaper than the one I was actually looking at.
Yeah.
So we're driving back and Leah goes, so do you just want a different color version? I was like, yeah. I want a sunburst version, but it's like $100 more. And she's like, what?
I'm like, why is it the same thing but a different color and more expensive?
And I was like, it's actually technically not. It's a different version of that type of guitar.
And I'm like, we are speaking two different languages right now.
Yeah. So there was that. But I was ecstatic about that. I was looking at one of those and I was looking at a Dean acoustic guitar that, like, if I were to have enough funds piled up to get it, that is the one I'd want because it connects via USB. Instead of just being like an aux cable deal to record on your computer and stuff. So I thought that was super fucking sweet. Since I was there and I wasn't buying any actual instruments today, I went and I got a big ass brown book of Led Zeppelin's classics guitar tablature, just the guitar edition, because I want the tabs so I can like read the music and the tabs at the same time. I just think it's cool. And I got this really cool hat. It's Fender. Even though I don't have a Fender guitar, but I have a Fender amplifier, so that counts. So I got this Fender.
It's a flat brim hat.
But it has like the mesh on the back of it, but it has this really bright turquoise bill. And with my hair short now, when it pokes out, it makes me look like I have a unicorn horn.
It does. That's the first thing I said to her.
And it matches my greenish blue hair. So I'm like, yes, I'm living my best life. So that's my something good. Before I get my guitar for my 30th, I am going to at least learn some cool songs I can play on that guitar. My hope and prayer is that I'm able to get that guitar before we go away for a little bit on that following weekend after my birthday.
Yeah.
Because that'd be nice. I'd like to be able to play guitar by the beach, you know.
I have a feeling what's going to have to happen then is that we're going to have to order it ahead of time so that it can reach the place for us to pick it up in time for us to pick it up.
Right. I've been looking at accessories and stuff. Like, I want to have a decent case. By decent, I mean just a hard shell case. It doesn't have to be fancy.
Mm-hmm.
And a decent guitar strap. So, yeah, I'm looking at Ibanez or Dean, more than likely.
Mm-hmm.
One of those two.
Cool. Alrighty, everybody. So reminders, make sure to check out our art for this week's entities on our Instagram at Coffee Table Mythos. If you want to share any art of your own of these beings, make sure to use our hashtag Coffee Table Mythos so that we and our followers can check them out. As always, if you have any stories or requests, please email us at coffeetablemythos@gmail.com. And remember to mention if you want a shout out of a name or handle, or if you'd like to remain anonymous. You can also find us on our Facebook page, Coffee Table Mythos, where you can message us as well.
Check out our merch on Teespring at teespring.com/store/coffee-table-mythos. We are adding more listings as we research more beings and make more art. If you'd like to donate to us, you can on anchor.fm/coffee-table-mythos/support. For right now, all donations will go to making this podcast better. Thank you so much for listening. Please give us a like, follow, subscribe, share, and review our podcast if you have the time. We are interested in what you have to say. This is Coffee Table Mythos. We'll catch you next time.